It is a great privilege to be identified with the great prophets of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We finish out our series in the Beatitudes. We're looking in particular at that body of material that relates to verses 10 to 12 of Matthew, the fifth chapter. Jesus was so bold as to say, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And again in verse 11, "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." I believe that loyalty to Jesus Christ, no matter the cost, is the essence of this beatitude. Loyalty to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ calls us to be loyal to himself in every circumstance, in every connection of life. And he wishes that loyalty to be of such an intensity that no matter the cost, we are willing to stand alone and identify with him. That is the essence of this beatitude. And there are really two points as I look at this beatitude that I want to discuss with you, and one we've already looked at. One, the reasons for persecution, and secondly, the response to persecution. And as we looked at that subject, the reasons for persecution, we looked at it both negatively and positively. It does not say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for being objectionable or rude." Nor does he say, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for a cause." Technically, as we look at this beatitude, verses 10 to 12, from a positive point of view, there are two basic reasons for suffering, which Jesus gives here. One is loyalty to a set of principles for righteousness' sake. That's what he says in verse 10. And then, secondly, the second legitimate basis upon which we ought to suffer persecution, be willing to suffer persecution, and wherein we can say this beatitude and the bliss of it does apply to us, is not only loyalty to a set of principles, but also, secondly, loyalty to a very special person. And that's what Jesus says in verse 11, "For my sake, for righteousness' sake," verse 10, "for my sake," and verse 11. If you face certain pressures in your everyday life for no other reason than that you have been loyal to this very special set of principles, righteousness' sake, and to this very special personality, Jesus Christ, you identify with that name, you are loyal to that name, you are unashamed to declare it and live under its jurisdiction, then the blessing of this beatitude is yours. Now, Jesus goes a step further and he says, I want you to see here how I want you to respond to this persecution. You're going to experience it if you're loyal to my principles of righteousness and to my being. If you are loyal in that way, you're going to experience persecution. Now, how are you to respond to it? We've seen the reasons for it. Now, the response to it very quickly. The response to persecution. Do you notice what he says there? He says in verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Now, that is absolutely shattering to the human psychology. That is shattering to the human psychology apart from Jesus Christ. When you know the moral and spiritual dynamic of a living relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've tapped the eternal benefits and blessings that only God can give to you through his Son, you're willing to pay any price to enjoy those blessings. I think if we're going to rejoice and be exceeding glad in persecution or in difficult circumstances or when the suffering comes, I think it will require at least two things of us. Number one, it will require preparation. And number two, it will require motivation. That preparation, we have to go outside the passage to see it, but I think it relates to this passage. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. That's why Peter says, "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind." Get ready. But now, the Lord goes a step further. He's very sensitive to our needs. And God knows that we require powerful inducements to fulfill his will. And so he says, I want you to see that there's a twofold motivation for behaving in this way. I want you to rejoice and be exceeding glad for two reasons. Number one, future rewards. For great is your reward in heaven. And number two, the fellowship of the martyrs. You have the privilege of identifying with those great prophets of old. Now, let's look at those for just a moment. One, he says, you have these future rewards. For great is your reward in heaven. I wonder if I could look at that with you for just a moment from a twofold perspective. One, there is a series of current blessings, and two, there is a consummate blessing, heaven. I say there are a series of current blessings that grow out of a context of suffering. What are these blessings? Number one, persecution is confirmation of your salvation. Now, secondly, persecution is not only confirmation of your salvation, but it provides for expansion of your witness. When the world sees a godly believer, follow me now. When the world sees a godly believer rejoice in persecution, it realizes two things. It realizes, number one, the uniqueness of the Christian faith, and number two, the impotence of its own way of living. It's confirmation of your salvation, it's expansion of your witness, and finally, it's purification of your life. That's a third current blessing. It means simply that the furnace of suffering purges out the dross of sin. Let's be rid of it, sin. Peter says, the man that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. He's tired of it. Temptation no longer holds an attraction for him. Job could say, when he hath tried me, that is, when God hath finished his process of trial and difficulty and suffering, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job 23:10. Increased purity, which is evident to all who see us, is a powerful cause of rejoicing. Begins to make sense. Future rewards, current blessings. Rejoice and be exceeding glad when the hard times come. Secondly, there is also the promise of a consummate blessing, not just a current blessing, but a consummate blessing. For great is your reward in heaven. And I think that right here is one of the great central controlling principles that you find running all through the Bible. It is the consideration of the end, our final destiny. You know, I don't think we think enough about heaven. We're always focusing on these circumstances around us and these difficulties and these pollutants and these irritants and all of our erratic and frenzied behavior as a result of the fact that sometimes we don't have our eyes on the Lord and our eternal destiny. We don't think enough about it. Great is your reward in heaven. Jesus says, when you begin to focus on heaven and all that's involved in it, your eternal destiny, when you come to realize that nothing can separate you from the love of God, if the whole globe disintegrates under you, it means nothing other than that you will be ushered into the presence of God. When you understand that, you can rejoice no matter how difficult the circumstances. Great is your reward in heaven. The Christian is a man whose life should be controlled by thoughts of heaven and of the world to come. There is a fantastic present power in the anticipation of a future hope or reward. When the Christian focuses on the unmixed joy and the glory and the holiness and the purity and the wonder that will be his when he realizes his destiny, when he's ushered into the presence of God in heaven, he lets go of this unhappy and wretched world, and he reckons, he estimates, he computes with the Apostle Paul that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8 and verse 18. And so what does he do? He rejoices and he leaps for joy in the face of persecution. Jesus says there's another reason and another motivation, not only future reward, current blessings and a consummate blessing, heaven, but also what we might call the fellowship of the martyrs. He says, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know what he's really saying? What he's saying is this: to be amongst the persecuted is to have the thrill of knowing that we are one of the great company of those whose names are on the honor roll of the faith. As I said a moment ago, a man's company is a great revealer of a man's character, and it's a great joy and a great privilege and a great honor to be identified with the great prophets of God and with Jesus Christ himself. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So we're taught, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we're taught very precisely what are the reasons for persecution. Do you remember them? Loyalty to a set of principles, righteousness' sake. And loyalty to a very special person, my sake. And then we're given the proper response to suffering. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. And that will require two things of us. One, preparation. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. We must not retaliate. We must not feel resentment. We must not even be depressed. We must rejoice and be exceeding glad. And then Jesus says, I know you need a motivation, and here it is. One, future reward, current and consummate blessing. Remember them. Future reward. Two, fellowship of the martyrs. It is a great privilege to be identified with the great prophets of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So let me ask you, have you ever been born again? I hope, beyond everything else, I hope that you can see that the Christian way of life is unique, it is noble, it is superior to any way of life on the face of the globe. This great way of living for which sincere Christians are prepared to die can be every man, woman, and child's, but only as God performs in you the miracle of new birth. And that miracle occurs the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here without Jesus Christ, we are saying we are so enthralled with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We are so excited and enthused about this way of living that he has provided for us. We are so overwhelmed by the eternal dimensions of it. We are willing to die for our loyalty to it. And we want you to know, we want you to have that kind of life. You cannot have it unless you are born again. Unless you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never been born again, then our hearts go out to you and we ask you, come to Christ and receive him. You say, I am a Christian. I have accepted Christ. Let me ask you, Christian, have you ever been called upon to stand alone for Jesus Christ and bear his reproach? Perhaps it was in your home. Perhaps it was in your school, young person. Perhaps it was on your job. Were you willing to do so? Were you willing to stand alone and bear his reproach? Or have you kept your identity as a Christian a well-kept secret? Maybe you have borne reproach, but in the process, you've grown bitter. Then we've lost the spirit of our Savior, and we forfeited the blessing of this beatitude. If these things are true of us as Christians, perhaps we should come claiming his forgiveness and yielding our life to his control.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Christ thirsted because he became a human being. He came to identify with us in our needs.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.